The Bob Siegel Show, sponsored by Bob Siegel.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Media Group and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Recurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found on his online column, Forbidden Table Talk.
It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but you wonder, should people put their faith and personal convictions ahead of political affiliation? Yes, of course they should, provided that's what they're truly doing. Mitt Romney says his vote to remove President Trump is one of the most difficult he ever made. I just have to wonder, if it was that difficult for him to do, why is it so easy for the rest of us to imagine him doing it? He claims he needed to put his conscience and his faith above party. I agree to such decisions as a general standard. However, I do not believe this was the senator's true reason. Yes, I do appreciate putting faith above party. I myself am a very dedicated Christian. And while I always vote Republican, I am actually registered as an independent. Not only do I put faith above party, I have often put faith above popular Christian beliefs that cannot truly be found in the Bible. I have fallen into disfavor with many a Christian for not walking in lockstep. But again, while I accept a person's right and need to dissent when such action is called for, I'm not buying what Mitt is trying to sell. Sorry, Mitt. Just as you have decided not to believe Trump, I have decided that I don't believe you. I guess in life we all make decisions about who comes off as believable. That includes me not even accepting your claim not to believe President Trump. Instead, I submit that you do not want to believe him for political motivations. Mitt's track record does not paint him as a man of integrity. Now, while many politicians change their positions, Mitt has written a book on it. Over the years, he's flipped and flopped and twisted and turned more than a Gumby doll in the hands of a pancake cook. But let's focus on merely one set of flip-flops, his on-again, off-again friendship with Donald Trump. He happily sought Trump's endorsement when he ran for president in 2012. It was the same Trump back then. The same bull in a china cabinet, the same gruff speaker who talked without a filter. Trump has not changed. Romney is the one who changes. After losing in 2012, he lambasted Trump during the election of 2016, claiming the man did not show the kind of character a president needs to exhibit. Then, after Trump won the election, Romney promptly sought to become a member of the Trump cabinet. Apparently, there was nothing wrong with the Trump presidency now. When that didn't work, he ran for Senate and happily accepted Trump's endorsement. This time it did work. Romney became a senator, wasting no time biting the hand that fed him by writing an anti-Trump op-ed. Since then, time after time, Mitt has spoken out against this president, a president who has actually accomplished a good deal of what Mitt promised to do in 2012. It comes across as sour grapes. It comes across as bitterness. Romney says his main concern is that the Senate did not bring forth the witnesses Schiff and Nadler requested. First of all, did he express similar concern when the House refused to hear even one Trump witness? And then, if the lack of witnesses means we do not have enough evidence, why not just vote that way? Not enough witnesses means the case was not made. Whatever the reason, if there is not enough evidence, a man is innocent until proven guilty. Romney also expressed concern about Trump's words, even in the delivered transcript of the call to Ukrainian President Zelensky. Putting aside the fact that, right or wrong, none of that rose to the level of impeachment anyway, that there was no threat to hold up financial aid either in the call or the perception of President Zelensky, did Romney express parallel concern when Joe Biden bragged on TV about doing the very thing Trump was accused of? But Mitt is sticking to his matter of faith declaration, claiming to be fully aware that he is subjecting himself to disfavor from Republicans, and he's willing to take the heat. Well, good for you, Mitt. This, too, smacks of disingenuous wordplay, inasmuch as old Mitt is equally aware that the decision will make him popular with Democrats and the darling of the mainstream media, so I think he knows he can suck it up. Sorry, Mitt. Your record suggests that this is personal for you, unrelated to any genuine conviction, religious or otherwise. Could I be mistaken? It's possible. It's also possible that leprechauns exist inside a pot of gold hidden somewhere in Ireland, but I'm not expecting to ever discover this to be true. And so I was not surprised to see Romney call for more witnesses and act like a pain in the president's side, but at the end of the day, I didn't think even he would stoop so low as to actually vote for removal. Despite everything on that one, I would have expected at least a little better, even from Mitt. Adam Schiff, on the other hand, never disappoints me. Adam Schiff stands before the Senate trying to shame them because of a possibility that they will not vote to allow further witnesses whom the Democrats want to bring forth. He asks, how can there be a trial without witnesses? He asks this with a straight face, knowing full well he allowed no witness of Donald Trump during the House impeachment hearings. He gets away with this because he's only going after Trump. Anything thrown at Trump is permissible. Those who go after him assume the ends justify the means, and they always have the mainstream media at their back. So what do they care? Anyway, he was acquitted. The trial is over, at least for another 5 minutes. Adam Schiff will probably discover next that Trump bullied a kid in grade school and took his sandwich. But whatever they find, you can be sure the attempt to draw up new impeachment charges will commence at once. Let's be clear. Even if every single witness the Democrats had wanted was brought forth, they would have screamed that they needed more. Before the outcome, I predicted, and it was an easy prediction, I predicted that they would not accept Trump's acquittal. And should Trump win the next election in November, they will not accept those results either. And before the election, they will also try to find another reason to impeach him. This time it won't gain traction, but watch for an attempt. They will never, ever stop. How do I know this ahead of time? To quote James Garner in Support Your Local Sheriff, well now, what else would they be doing? But there was also interesting news the night before the verdict, during the State of the Union address. What a picture, watching our Speaker of the House sit behind President Trump as he points out a record lowest of all time unemployment for African Americans, and she can't bring herself to clap? Of course not. She hates Trump more than she cares about the fulfillment of a promise her party has made for years and failed to deliver. And of course, the other problem is that it contradicts their made-up narrative of Trump being a racist. But there's no made-up narrative about my good friend from Texas. Say hello to Jim Barrier. How you doing, Jim?
Well, there you go. That's my introduction, so we can talk about the State of the Union.
All right. Do you want me to rip something up in the background while you talk about it?
Well, on radio, that's not as effective, but you're welcome to try. Well said. The whole Romney thing just it really disappoints me. But I think I'm with you. I just found it disingenuous. And then the show that Nancy put on was unbelievable.
I pray for the president. I pray for the president every day. You know what? I'm sure she does pray, but what God is she praying to? She would say it's the God of the Bible, but she takes positions that are very unbiblical. She supports abortion. She doesn't speak out against infanticide. So when she claims that's the God of the Bible, I'm not buying it. I believe she probably does pray. She tells herself she's very religious.
Well, and that's the thing. There are a lot of religious people. And, you know, we could probably get some criticism for not supporting Mitt in his faith. Mitt doesn't believe in the same religion that I believe in. He's not a part of, I don't consider myself to be in line with the Church of Latter-day Saints.
No, he's a Mormon. Mormonism contradicts the Bible. However, I know many sincere Mormons who, even though I may disagree with their beliefs, I would have much more respect for them than I have for Mitt Romney. So I want to make it clear. No, I'm not a Mormon. No, I don't believe in Mormon theology. That's not my reason for objecting to Mitt.
Exactly. I guess that's how I feel. And I have known some awesome people who are Mormons. And, the thing, it's always kind of been synonymous with someone who is morally upright and honest. And those things generally are associated with someone who practices in the Mormon faith. And this whole thing has undone that for me, for Mitt at least. You know, that I just didn't see any integrity or honesty. But for him to play that card and say that he was doing it based on his faith, I thought, what a slap in the face to people of faith, of many denominations and religions, to pull that.
Why did we all know ahead of time that he would do it? I at least knew he'd give him a hassle about bringing in more witnesses. I at least knew he'd be a pain. Why did we know that ahead of time?
Yeah,
if it was such a genuine religious conviction.
Yeah, I'm just with you on that, and Nancy, being a good Catholic, good Catholics don't support abortion. You're right.
Yeah, next to the word "good Catholic" in the dictionary, they do not have her picture.
No, and I think she's in trouble now because I when it was so bad that even some Democrats spoke out, I think she's really been an embarrassment. And it's ludicrous, some of the stuff that I'm seeing. And you think it can't get any worse. But every time I think that, somebody comes along and plays the stupid card, that I didn't know existed. So
and of course, she's claiming, well, the president didn't shake my hand. Now, look, he didn't shake the vice president's hand either.
Exactly.
And some are suggesting that maybe he just didn't think to shake hands. However, let me go on record. If I were in his shoes and people were calling me a Nazi and a fascist and trying to impeach me, and I had to go through that for 3 years, and this was the woman that was at the center of it, I wouldn't want to shake her hand. So I don't blame him for not shaking her hand. And also, she didn't introduce him the way, there's part of the tradition of the introduction is it's my honor and privilege to introduce a friend. She didn't do that. No. I know that could sound like tit for tat, but boy, she just threw a little hissy fit. And I hope they pay for this in November. We'll be right back.
Believe it or not, Bob Siegel is aware that there may be one or two people who disagree with his opinions. To offer your own comments on the topic at hand or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, feel free to contact Bob on Facebook, Twitter, or questions@bobsiegel.net.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-aged child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool and a nonprofit 501c3 organization. Contact us now at wisdomworkschristianpreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. wisdomworkschristianpreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Welcome back to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Always great to be with my good friend, Jim Barrier.
Man, we go out to Ackerbilk and come back to Dave Brubeck.
The great cool, Dave Brubeck.
Absolutely. The great cool vibe jazz. Man, I'm waxing nostalgic.
Yeah, we have several jazz tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Not all of them, but several jazz.
Well, I like it. So, wanted to talk a little bit about our view of the State of the Union, and I thought Trump really just hit it out of the park the other night. You know,
one of the best I've ever heard, if not the best.
And of course he knows what he's doing when he does those things. He knows what to say. He knows the right guests to have in the audience. And I loved the one with the wife of the military guy, and they bring the guy in, you know. That was a moment where I really kind of lost it.
There were so many touching moments, and the guy that was over 100 years old,
served.
The little girl that got to that got the scholarship and the award to Rush Limbaugh. Yeah. The guy's got lung cancer, and the liberals still can't stop. And Nancy can't clap for any of these. Lowest unemployment for women, lowest for Hispanics, lowest for blacks. I would have loved to have seen it without the closed caption for the Nancy impaired. That would have been a better version of it.
Nancy impaired. Okay. You know, I don't know. I do know what's wrong with the woman, but it's just amazing that she could be in such a powerful position.
Well, that is what's wrong with the woman. She's in that powerful position. Yeah. She'd be harmless otherwise.
Yeah. It's Trump derangement syndrome at its finest. Let's you and I talk about how we see the nation right now. And I think at this stage in our history, we need to rename it. Instead of the State of the Union, it's the State of the Disunity. Just things are so polarized.
No, we're on the verge of a civil war.
Yeah. Yeah, and we are in one of sorts. It's just they're not using guns yet. Much.
Well, if Trump loses, I believe it'll start right away. If he wins, we may get a reprieve. But I can't imagine him losing this election unless they come out and try to frame him for something else. And, of course, the Democrats who yap the most about election fraud, they're the ones that are against voter ID. So who knows what they might try to pull off. There's all kinds of circus acts they're attempting here in California.
Yeah, they will try everything possible.
And if he wins, they will not accept the results. They will not. They'll say he stole it, he rigged it.
Yeah, it'll be the same thing. But meanwhile, he'll win the election. He'll go on to do more great things.
But we've got to win the House and hold the Senate. Otherwise, they'll not only impeach him, they'll remove him from office. You hear that, everybody? Because a lot of people who voted for Trump during the midterms went and voted for some of these so-called moderate Democrats that said they espoused Trump policies, and then they were the ones that voted for impeachment.
Yeah.
So we've got to use our heads. If you really want to vote for Trump, you got to vote the Republicans. And look, I don't like some of those rhino Republicans, but the Republicans have got to stay in power or Trump loses power. That's just the way politics works, everybody.
It is. And so we will see. I'm hoping that some of this insanity will backfire. And I think people are tired of all of that stuff. And meanwhile, you know, unemployment is an all-time low for so many classes in our society. The economy is good. By the way, I'd like to say hi to all of our listeners in San Antonio. I know we have a few people that are listening online.
I've been friended by several people on Facebook this year who said they like you, and I think some of them said they follow the show.
Yeah, there are. There's several in my congregation. But I just wanted to mention to all of you folks out there on the West Coast that I just filled up my gas tank for $1.86 a gallon. I just have to rub it in.
I know. Listen, anything you want to say about California, you're going to get no argument from me.
Well, I know. And I'm from there. Operative word, from. It's a good place to be.
Yeah, you're from there because you're the smart one that got out.
It's a good place to be from.
Yeah. Perfect.
So the economy is strong. Unemployment is dropping consistently.
Oh, but that's all because of Obama, Jim. Didn't you know that? Trump's just riding on the coattails of Obama. Obama gets all the credit. That's the narrative.
Yeah, I've heard that, but that doesn't fly for me.
Even Obama didn't say it would fly. He listened to all the financial things Trump was promising, and he said this isn't magic. It isn't going to happen, and it happened. But now it's like, it happened because of my policies. Give me a break.
Well, they being the Dems and the liberal sides, they just don't tell the truth. Now, it's been a long-standing
joke
about politicians.
They've forgotten how. It's been so long since they told the truth. I don't think they even remember what it was like.
But that's been kind of the joke about politicians in general. But it's just crazy, the stuff they keep coming up with now. And what bothers me is that enough Americans believe this stuff. And I think because there's so much of the mainstream media that repeats this stuff and promotes this stuff, and they push the lies down our throats, that enough Americans are uneducated and they are ignorant or whatever, and they believe this stuff. And so they go to the polls and they vote. And it just, that's disappointing to me. And that's still my concern. I wake up, America. But I think the economy's strong. I think things are good all around when it comes on the home front. Look at the foreign situation. You know, it seems like every week they're taking out another terrorist leader.
Yeah, and then they're trying to pass bills robbing him of his ability as commander-in-chief to do that.
You know, and again, his predecessor would do that and gloat about it. And
He did it all the time. And it's true that Congress has to declare war, but it's also true that the president doesn't have to wait for a declaration of war to act in an urgent situation. Okay, we'll be right back. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show. Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call WNS Electric Incorporated. WNS specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, WNS takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for WNS Electric Incorporated. License number 480-539, WNS Electric.
Bob Siegel's novel, Push the Winds Around, is now available in both ebook and print copies. Check out this customer review from Amazon.com. Talk about a good read. Have you ever thought, if only God would allow me to go back in time to right my wrongs? What if I could change those decisions I made? What would be the outcome? Would the changes make a difference? If you have ever thought about that, then this book is your challenge. The story is so good you won't want it to end. You'll see why it deserves 5 stars. Bob Siegel, you've done it again. Can't wait for the sequel. Push the Winds Around, available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show, our theme, Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture. Say hello again to Jim Barrier.
So we're talking about how the president is doing, and we just left off talking about foreign affairs, and he is aggressively going after, these are really terrible people,
who have declared war on us. Whether or not Congress declares war, they've declared war on us. He has a right and an obligation as commander-in-chief to defend us.
Yeah, and every president has had that. They're grasping at anything they can to try to demonize the guy. You know, and then you look over in Asia and how he is brought back some respect when he deals, he goes toe-to-toe with these leaders in China, North Korea, and places, and I think they have a healthy respect for him, you know.
Oh, they absolutely do.
And he's also a great negotiator, and he knows what cards to play when it comes to economic sanctions and those kind of things. And you look at the jobs he's bringing back here as a result of that. It's just some great stuff that's happening, and unfortunately, mainstream media is not going to give him credit for that. They're not going to talk about it, and certainly Pelosi and her crew are not going to acknowledge those things. But I think the guy's doing a great job, and you've said it. You said it in the show. He is bombastic. He's abrasive, but that's not what he's elected to do, to be a nice guy and to be. It reminds me
of the story. This was allegedly true of Abraham Lincoln when Grant was winning all these battles, Ulysses Grant, and somebody came to Lincoln and complained and said, "Did you know General Grant is drinking whiskey?" And Lincoln said, "If I can find out the brand, I'll serve it to all my generals."
Exactly.
That's about how I feel with Trump.
Yeah. Get results. But the economy hasn't been this good in a long, long time. And I remember one guy who ran for president, and his mantra was, "It's the economy, stupid."
Yeah, exactly.
You remember that?
That was the first George Bush. Bill Clinton against the first George Bush.
Yeah. And he
Clinton
got elected.
Won
that
election. Yep.
So, but they're not willing to, credit Trump with this making the economy better. And you know what? I just have this feeling. I have this hope that people like the way things are working for them on their daily. You know, they have to get out and work and be the workforce and support a family and pay their bills. And I think people are going to appreciate the improvements that have been made. And I think it's also going to hit on some of the groups that have traditionally voted Democrat. I think some of the minorities and some of these demographic segments are going to say, you know what, no, my life is better, and I'd like to see more of it.
Well, on one of his recent rallies, it was New Jersey, a Democratic state, mm-hmm. thousands upon thousands in attendance, thousands upon thousands turned away, and I heard that 25% of the people who were either there or who had sought to bought tickets were Democrats. That's not even counting the independents and Republicans, Democrats.
Yeah. And meanwhile, some of the Democrat candidates who are struggling desperately to win their party's nomination, tens upon tens of people have attended their rallies.
I know. What a barrel full of monkeys. Yeah, Joe Biden had a whoop in 137 at his rally. You go get him, Joe. Joe's going to beat him like a drum.
Now there's a circus act. If these people are the best that party can come up with, they're in serious trouble.
I would
folks.
Take anybody that the real P.T. Barnum wanted to offer us any day of the week.
It's laughable sometimes, and we say all the time that the whole campaign, the whole platform is hate Trump, hate Trump, hate Trump. That you know, they're, nobody's talking about what they can. You know, I mean, some of the things that they come up with are just ridiculous. How are you going to pay for free everything?
You know, you know why they hate him? Because he's the first conservative candidate who's fought back. You look at Romney
mm-hmm,
again,
mm-hmm,
the
mm-hmm.
darling of the media right now. That same media, when Romney was running in 2012, they were calling him a racist. They were calling him Hitler. They were calling him a misogynist, but he cowered under. Trump fights back, and that's why they hate him. Where Republicans are supposed to just take it in the chin and never fight back. Trump broke the rules.
Yeah, and I think he probably won the election because enough people appreciated that about him that he didn't give in. And so I don't know. I don't think they have a candidate capable of winning. As you said, I think the only chance they have is to try to steal the election or try to somehow. And if they can't, if they haven't come up with it by now, they're not gonna. But find something they can convict Trump of, or it's not going to happen.
Well, I, and although I don't like Bernie Sanders, I don't think it was fair the way they stole the election from him last time. And I don't think it would be fair if they did it again. But if they do, and they put some moderate in his place, the Sanders people will stay home and assure Trump's election. So let's just hope it happens that way.
Yeah. And the truth is, he's kind of a kook. You know, I mean,
have you heard Larry David's impersonation of him on Saturday Night Live? It's perfect.
No, and
college free, healthcare free.
You know, I haven't watched Saturday Night Live in years. I used to love the show, and I quit watching it. And I have to admit, it, there are things I think boycott is probably not a word that I would use, but there's just some stuff I think I don't have the time to waste.
Once in a while, by mistake, they still do something funny.
Yeah, but I haven't watched it, and we did not mention tonight. Tonight is not
even as we speak.
Oscar night is it Oscar
they're
night?
Going on even as we speak. I have not looked at them yet.
Well,
I can give you.
Give
some predictions?
Give me a sample of this speech. Give me an acceptance speech.
Okay.
We're likely to hear.
Yeah. Let's. I don't know what movies are going to win. I can tell you what the acceptance speech is, and many of the presenters will say.
That's
Trump's
right.
a fascist. Trump's a racist. Trump's a pig. Trump. So I haven't been watching it, but that's going on even as you and I speak, Jim.
And for folks that are listening to the show tonight, the Bob Siegel Show, instead of watching TV, he just saved you several hours.
That was it. That was our recap.
Now, I know that you liked the film about Mr. Rogers. With
I
Tom
did.
Hanks.
That actually did not get nominated for Best Picture, much to my surprise.
Yeah.
It was nominated for Best Picture in the Golden Globes. Tom Hanks is nominated for Best Supporting Actor. The Best Actor category has, I forget his name, Banderas. If I'm recalling correctly, he's playing a gay character. That's an odds-on favorite to win, given the direction of the Academy these days. Maybe not, because it's a secret ballot. They could look both ways, but I usually make my predictions based on what's mostly political. Usually it's something very politically correct that wins.
Yeah, that's happened a lot. Now, I've heard a lot of good stuff. I haven't seen the film, 1917.
Antonio Banderas, that's who I was thinking of.
Yeah. 1917 was an excellent movie.
I saw that should win Best Picture. That would be poetic justice. That was a wonderful movie.
Yeah. Once in a while, they put a good movie out, and I got to admit here, I'm just being honest with you, I rarely go to the theater anymore. I wait for Netflix.
Well, that way nobody's kicking your seat while you're watching. All right. We'll be right back. This is Bob Siegel for Skyline Church. Jesus said that his people should be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Some churches take that mandate seriously, others sadly do not. I am happy to announce that there are many good, serious churches in San Diego, and Skyline is certainly one of them. Outreaches to the community and the world at large are carried on by our missionary family. Their ministries to the poor, the shut-ins, and the emotionally scarred. There are groups and classes for all ages, from children to middle school to high school, college, young adult, and senior citizen. Skyline is also on the cutting edge of today's social issues. We mobilize people and help them to be a better voice for the changing culture around us.
Skyline Church.
Welcome back to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel, joined by Jim Barrier.
So here we are. I failed to mention something. When we're talking about foreign affairs, we tend to think a lot about the enemies and the negative stuff. But one of the great things that this administration, really the president, has been responsible for is re-strengthening our relationship with Israel. And
Yes, absolutely. He's the best friend Israel's ever had as far as a U.S. president goes.
Yeah, and I've never understood the hostility that people in this country have that would claim not to be anti-Semitic, and they would say, no, we're fair, we're unbiased. But the fact is, Israel has been the most solid ally that this country has had in that part of the world.
Oh, it's our most solid ally, I think, in any part of the world. And people say they're not anti-Semitic, and yet somehow every people group in the world is entitled to have their own nation except the Jews. That smacks of a little bit of anti-Semitism to me. However, I know a lot of people just repeat what they hear at the water cooler and what they're taught on the college campus, and they're not thinking it through. So I'm not going to say that everybody who says that hates Israel. I'm going to say they're sadly misinformed. However, much as I love President Trump, and I know he thinks he can make the deal of the century over there, it ain't going to happen. The Palestinians are never going to agree. And if they ever sign something, they would never abide by it. It's not going to happen. I'm a big fan of President Trump. This one, not even he is going to pull off.
No one's been able to, but the fact that he's taken a stand, to move the embassy, you know, to Jerusalem, things like that.
And I applaud his efforts.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And I, you know, we have a big name preacher here in this town, and he does a lot of talk about Israel and stuff. Setting aside the whole biblical history and everything else, just the fact that they have been an ally, why would you distance yourself from your ally? Why would you not want to strengthen another nation that has been a solid ally for decades?
The politically correct world, up is down and down is up. It's like Isaiah 5, woe to those who say good is evil and evil is good.
Yeah.
And that's what's going on today.
That really is the state of our society right now. Almost every day I'll see or hear something, read something, and I just think, how in the world did we fall this far? And again, not to be sanctimonious and make everything all about my religion or my faith, but just common sense.
Well, Jim, some of the Democrats care more about whether you eat a hamburger or have your shampoo in a plastic bottle than whether a baby is put to death in the hospital.
Well, I read one recently. It was at some zoo somewhere, and there was a giraffe being born, and a huge crowd gathered around. Everybody was just so excited about this giraffe being born, and the writer said, "Can you imagine if as soon as that baby giraffe was born, if they killed it, the horror that it would have, the people, the reaction."
We would never hear the end of it.
Yeah, but yet they do this with human babies.
Oh, it's like getting back to Israel. The first time PETA ever spoke out against the Palestinians was when one of their bombs blew up a donkey. They never said a word for a year while their bombs were blowing up Jews.
Yeah. So there's a deception. There's a bias, and it's quite concerning. And yet somehow I just don't think that the vast majority of Americans really believe all that stuff. I think, you know, it's the tail wagging the dog. I think the media, and you know, I've said it on your show, I've been saying it for decades, on Judgment Day, media goes first. But, you know, you have all of these voices, and people just hear that stuff and they believe it. And it's very troubling to me. And yet history teaches us that the masses don't always listen to reason. They follow somebody.
Most major movements in history that have been good have been promoted by the minority. The majority has stood, including the abolition of slavery. The majority was for slavery. It was very few that first spoke out against it.
Yeah. So I think it's an uphill battle, and I think just the human condition, we've seen it. You read about it in history. I've watched it in my lifetime. And so it's hard for me to get my hopes up that we're going to do the right thing. And I have said this for years when I've been on your show. The only real hope for me is revival.
There we go. I'm with you. We'll be back for one more segment.
Siegel not only writes fiction, but nonfiction as well. Over the years, Bob has received wonderful comments about his book on Christian apologetics entitled, I'd Like to Believe in Jesus, But... Many have put this book in the hands of their seeking, unbelieving friends, and the book takes it from there. This is because the book has a rhetorical skeptic that argues with Bob about the harder, less frequently discussed questions. As a result, the reader is immediately aware that they are reading from an author who relates to them. The moment they find themselves questioning something they see, their very question appears in the text. Every question in this book was one that was personally put to Bob during his many years of speaking on college campuses. I'd like to believe in Jesus, but available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Jim, the time always goes by far too quickly, but it's always great having you on our show.
Well, I really enjoyed it. Do we have a couple of minutes here?
Yes, we do.
Okay, well, we've been real serious about stuff. I'd like to express for a moment my disappointment that here we are in the year 2020 and we still don't have flying cars. I'm very
well. According to Back to the Future 3, we were supposed to have those by the year 2015.
Yeah. And I mean the Jetsons and everything else. I thought for sure we'd have them by now. At least a little hovercraft that you can scoot across your lawn.
I heard that they've actually invented something that they're calling a hoverboard. Very recent.
Yeah.
They didn't do it by 2015, but
I've seen videos of it. But it's too little, too late. And I thought for sure we would have a colony on the moon by now.
And that one does surprise me, actually. Well,
yeah. Remember 1999? Remember the TV show with Martin Landau?
Space 1999. Yeah. Yes, I do remember that.
Yeah, that was 20 years ago, and we still haven't done it. So I'm disappointed that we don't have flying cars. We don't have a colony on the moon. We do have Space Force, though. And did you see the logo that was unveiled?
No, I heard they're trying different types of uniforms. I hadn't realized they'd come up with one yet.
It looks a whole lot like the Star Trek logo.
That would be okay for me. I think I like the uniforms on the original series better than any of the uniforms that followed.
I've followed that.
You don't want to be a security guard dressed in red, or you're guaranteed.
No, you don't want a red shirt.
When it's Kirk, Spock, and McCoy, and one security guard in red beaming down to the planet, you know that guy's history within 5 minutes of the show.
And especially if he doesn't have a name, he's toast.
That's right. Although one of those is the same actor who keeps resurrecting as the same security guard.
Yeah, you know, that's a good gig. You know, he's getting paid to be on a TV show.
There you go.
You know, thank you, Lucy and Desi, because it was Desi Lou Productions that bought that thing and got it on TV. So that's your full circle thing there.
You know, it's funny you mentioned them, because when we were talking about California earlier, I was remember the season on I Love Lucy where the Ricardos went out to Hollywood because Ricky was making a movie, and in their convertible, they're singing California, Here We Come. You just got to wonder if all four actors aren't just turning in their grave looking at the direction of California now.
There's a lot of that probably going on.
I'm going to be singing California, Here We Go with that same enthusiasm.
Yeah, it's so disappointing to see that stuff. But I had really hoped that we'd see some of these technical advancements that were, when I was a kid, were science fiction. But an awful lot of things have come to pass, you know.
Thing we do have now is on our iPhones and our computers, we can talk with FaceTime. Used to be something you only saw on Star Trek or science fiction.
Even Dick Tracy and his wrist radio, now you got smartphones.
We are seeing some of that stuff.
You get the smart watches. So there's been a lot of good stuff, a lot of things. But doggone it, I want flying cars. I want flying cars.
They probably have the technology to make those. They just haven't done it.
Well, I'm sure they do. And you're going up against a big industry. And it's the same thing. Okay. I think a long time ago we should have been able to generate energy just from the currents in the sea. They have technology. They have these things they can put out there, and the tides go through, and it works just like a generator in a dam where the rivers are flowing over. But they could put those things out there, and it would be an unending source of energy using the currents, and we could create electricity that way. And this is what I want to work on. I'm retiring in a few weeks, and I'm going to try to invent a device that will not only generate electricity from the ocean, but desalinize the water and make it drinkable. What do you think of that?
That would be great. Hey, could you also come up with a device that takes the energy of Al Gore and the others that flap nonstop about global warming and let the motion of their mouths be our new source of energy?
I'd probably come up with a flying car before that'll happen.
I'd be willing to have them shut up and not have the source of energy.
Well, he invented the internet too, you know.
Yeah, that guy did a lot of things.
Oh, my goodness. So, I think we still have a long way to go. There's a lot of things we can achieve yet, but we could start with just American people being educated before they vote and voting their conscience and make their vote count. You know, people, get out and vote. Get out and vote. It still bothers me that so few people that could register actually register, and then the ones that do register don't actually vote. And it's just a small percentage of the population that's making the decision for all of us. And so I'm probably going to rant about that between now and November every time I'm on your show.
That's okay with me.
And I tell my people, you got to do that, and I'll help you. I won't tell you who to vote for, but I'll tell you what the person stands for. And I won't tell you what measure to vote yay or nay, but I'll tell you what it means if you do vote yay or nay.
Hey, did you know they're kicking a law around in California making it against the law to not vote? Have you ever heard of such a thing? I'm fine saying voting is a privilege and a right, but a right to do something by definition means you have the right to not do it if you don't want to. I think they want the millennial votes because a lot of millennials never make it to the polls. I mean, there's some very bright millennials, but there's others that probably don't know where the polls are because they're on dope. Dude, where's the polls? And they want to make sure they get them all there because they know they're the ones that are going to vote the way they want.
I think it's not even as much that they're dumb. I think it's that they're cynical and that they don't see that it's going to make a difference. And that's a deception when people think that way. Well, what difference was my vote make?
Yeah, well, I'm trying to figure out the angle on this one. And this is not passed yet. It's just something being kicked around. But
well,
boy,
now, how are they going to do that? Because really what they mean is they're going to make it a law that you have to vote Democrat.
Voting Democrat is their end game here. But how they're connecting the dots, I don't know. I think with the millennials has something to do with it. And maybe it'll force the illegals to come out of the closet and force them to go to the voting booth openly, and they just assume that they'll all vote Democrat.
You guys have passed so many ridiculous laws in that state, or at least tried to, and there's been so many things that it's like, I'm not surprised anymore, at the ridiculous things that I hear coming out of California. And I'm a third-generation Californian, okay? It's a beautiful place to visit. But man, I'm just dumbfounded sometimes when I read the things that are coming out of that the government there. And I hope you guys survive. I'll save a room for you here in Texas.
I hope we do too. I love California. I don't want to move. As far as topography goes, we beat Texas hands down. But as far as sane government goes, there's no comparison.
Yeah, without a doubt, it's the most beautiful place. And so that's why I go out and visit. And I will be out there later this year, and we've talked about it.
We're going to have you in the studio live.
I always look forward to that. But doggone it, just get some common sense here. What in the world is wrong?
Hey, Jim, in our last few minutes, I'd like to give a congratulations and a condolence to Rush Limbaugh for the Medal of Freedom. And he does have lung cancer. Those of us that are in talk radio, conservative talk radio, owe a lot to Rush. Now, I'm just a local show, but people like Sean Hannity, people on the big syndicated shows are all saying the same thing. And I just wanted to add my voice. He was alone out there. We didn't have anything like conservative talk radio. Not that it caught on before Rush Limbaugh. He paved the way for that.
Yeah,
he paved the way for a lot of overseeing on the internet, Fox News. We wouldn't be hearing the other side if it weren't for him. And so I just wanted to add my voice to the so many other appropriate voices.
Yes, sir. Well said.
All right, my friend, we'll see you next month.
See you next time.
Okay.
All right.
I'm going to go home and find out who won the Academy Awards.
Okay.
And how many times the word Trump was mentioned.
Okay. Bye.
Bob Siegel Show, sponsored by Bob Siegel.